Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter and Ananias said, Ananias, why hath... Notice this, folks. What are we talking about? This is a series on satanic attacks against the church and against Christians. And so that's where we're focusing in on for these Sunday nights. And so what are we doing? We're just chasing that old rascal through the Bible. Anywhere he raises his ugly head, we better stop and take a look at it, especially if the attack is against a Christian or a church. And so we're learning his methods, okay? So there he is. He says, Satan hath Satan filled thine... Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? Well, this is interesting. Look at this too. For Satan to be in the same verse as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And for Satan to fill... These aren't lost people, folks. We're going to find out. These aren't lost people. By the way, they're not carnal people. This isn't a peripheral crowd. Come on, carnal Christians don't sell property and bring the money to the church. So this is a good Sunday night message. Because honestly, this is me, you, this is those of us that are serious about this and trying to serve God and trying to keep our life ordered and trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. And yet, in the process of that, the devil had influence, and a tragedy occurs. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered and answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which hath buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Notice the result of this. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Heavenly Father, we need your help. Holy Spirit, I'm going to be speaking about you. It'd be, Lord, hypocrisy for me to try to speak about you without your help. And I need you. Please fill me, help me. And Lord, we need to hear this tonight. The devil has not dialed things down. He's never taken a day off. Lord, I feel like a couple of years ago, covering of the pit of hell got kicked off. And it just seems like demonic influence has just flooded our nation. Lord, I believe with all my heart it's a creating the spirit of Antichrist. It's prepping the world for the tribulation period. And so we understand, those of us that are saved understand, and the Bible predicted these things. We've always preached it. We've always known it. But it's been a little bit of a frightful thing to actually watch it happen. And yet, Lord, in the middle of all of this, what an opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ. Things are not falling apart, they're falling in place. And so, Lord, may we learn, may we be wise, may we understand our enemy a bit better after tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right. Very interesting, because here, as I mentioned, here are some Christians that are not peripheral church members. They're not carnal Christians. They watch the example of Barnabas in the last couple verses of Acts chapter 4, who had a piece of land and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. By the way, when we obey the Holy Spirit in our life, a lot of times it opens the hearts of other Christians to say to God, what would you have me do? And I think that this couple did that with all sincerity, and I think that they started that down that road intending to fully obey the Holy Spirit of God. But somewhere along the line, the devil got into this. And he took something that could have been a wonderful thing, a great thing, a good thing, and he polluted it. And we see extraordinary consequences in their life as a result of that. And I want you to look back at that phrase because it's very important that we understand what the devil did here. In verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine? Boy, the next word's important. What's the next word? Heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Tonight I want to talk about satanic attacks against the church and warn you that Satan wants to influence your heart. He wants to influence your heart. Now we know, let me give you several things. That, by the way, that word, when it says there, why has Satan filled thine heart? If you look up that word and do a study on it, it's talking about this idea of influencing the heart. And so we know that the devil, number one, Satan cannot possess a born-again Christian, but listen, he can influence their decision-making processes. All right? Think about that. Satan cannot possess a born-again Christian, but he can influence their decision-making process. Okay? If Satan, number two, if Satan succeeds in influencing their lives, he usually does so by appealing to our hearts. I'm going to do a quick review, and I do this from time to time, and it's important because I want to keep this before you. Let me have some young men help me out, okay? Let me have you four teenagers. Well, you're kind of yes, you're still a teenager, aren't you? Come on up here. I want to remind you how God created you. I want to remind you how God put this thing together, okay? If you do not understand the parts, you're not going to be able to understand how to fix the things that go wrong in your life. I'm going to have you stand over here. And here is a lost man. He has a body, and he has a soul, and he has a spirit. But that spirit is dead in trespasses and sin. Now, you have to understand that any time that you meet a lost person, this is what you're dealing with right here. You're not going to be able to have a spiritual conversation with him because he has a dead spirit. He's dead in his spiritual understanding. That's why we desperately need the help of the Holy Spirit of God when we are witnessing to a lost person. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, because Jerry Ross, with my limited abilities, cannot have a spiritual conversation and cannot get this person to the point where they know and understand and believe the Bible and want to receive Christ. I need the Holy Spirit of God to help me in this endeavor, okay? And so here's the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, here's a born-again Christian or a preacher. By the way, here's you in the workplace, okay? I'm representing all of us that have an opportunity to try to share the wonderful gospel of God to this person so that God can do a miraculous work in their life. Here's somebody before they get saved. Here's a preacher comes along, and hopefully with the power of the Holy Spirit is being used to talk to this person. This person comes to a place of conviction over their sin and understanding of the gospel, and that Jesus died for them, was buried, and rose again. And all of a sudden, that the Bible calls it the light of the glorious gospel breaks through and shines through. And they realize that God loves me, and Jesus did that for me. And they then bow their head in repentance and pray and receive Christ. And a wonderful thing happens. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and can do what I can't do, because he can reborn that dead spirit and he can bring it back to life. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now, just let me back you up and show you this one more time. I can do this quick. But this is a lost person. All right, come on over here. All right, flip that around now. This is a saved person. We have been fundamentally changed when we're born again. Folks, I mean eternally, divinely, fundamentally different. Nothing sadder than watching a now saved person try to go back and fit into the world. Okay, you can go through all the motions. You can decide you're going to turn your back. But you are fundamentally different. That's why the Bible talks about Lot. It said his righteous soul was vexed, even though he had moved to Sodom, even though he pinched his tent in the wrong direction, even though he went in and sacrificed his family, and he tried to become a part every single day, his righteous soul was vexed. You know why? Because he is not like them. And if you're saved, you are not like the world. You are not like the lost. And so this is, boy, isn't this a miraculous transformation? That which was dead is now alive. And we have the Holy Spirit of God that just doesn't come in to do that miracle, but stays there to seal us into the day of redemption and to help us navigate this thing called the Christian life. Woo, that's good stuff right there. I'm going somewhere. I want to show you what the devil did. Now, a lot of times when we get saved, Luke, let me have you come up and stand here, and then you can stand behind him. We're going to get in single file line now. When you get saved, you do have the presence of the Holy Spirit in, but you're a babe in Christ, and a lot of times this is the order of a new convert. Okay, they have the indwelling of the Spirit. They now have a spirit that can communicate with God, but you got to understand, you have to learn how to get ordered properly in your Christian life, okay? And so a lot of times we have the flesh still kind of making the decisions, you know. They haven't learned what it is to surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. They don't even understand his ministry in their life. They're still functioning basically daily as a lost person because they've got their person ordered incorrectly, okay? So what is growth in grace? You know, what's the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian? People say the word carnality and all of a sudden everybody's just tenses. Well, no, let's just take a breath and let's define it. Let's be honest about it. Let's make sure that the goal is to become a spiritual Christian, okay? Well, the carnal Christian, simply carnal, if you look up that word, it just means fleshly. It just means the body, the flesh is still calling the shots and still leading the show here. And because of that, the soul is influenced heavily by the flesh. Now, folks, let me have you hold up that word soul up in the air high, and then let me have you hold this up beside it, okay? The soul is also a trinity, okay? The soul is a mind, heart, and a will. Now, we're getting to the story, okay? And so what's happened if you are carnal, and by the way, you may be carnal because you're a new Christian and you're learning how to properly order yourself. Come on. Or you may know better and you've just decided to let the flesh get back in charge of your life, okay? And so if you do, the problem is the soul is made up of the mind, the heart, and the will, okay? So now you mostly are controlled because the flesh is influencing the soul the strongest. You tend to have carnal or fleshly thoughts, and whatever you think affects your emotions. So you have carnal thoughts that produce carnal emotions. And when you are making decisions with a carnal mind and a carnal heart, those decisions are not going to be good. Hey, look right up here. I'm glad that these folks are here tonight because they see it every single day, brother, and you can testify to this. You know, you're going to make young people, please listen. I know your preacher blows the trumpets on this. From 18 to about 22, 23 years of age, you're going to make some of the most important decisions of your life. And you cannot afford to be in this order when you're making those decisions. You just can't. I mean, you can, but you're going to spend the next 20 years fixing everything or trying to fix stuff. Come on, I've got 35, 40-year-olds. In the past, I've had them set my office, and all we're doing is trying to untangle a web. They're saved. They were saved, but you know what? They were out of order. They were out of order, okay? And so that's what we're dealing with. And we're getting to the story. The introduction is going to be long. The sermon is going to be short, okay? But the entire goal of the Christian life is to try to get you to understand that God didn't, listen, this is not an it, it's a person. Okay, and this is a person of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father, as much as God as God the Son. And God gifted us, a member of the triune God, to be inside of us. Wow. Wow. So the Holy Spirit, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Now what we want to do is the Holy Spirit wants to say, hey, you tired of messing up? You tired of trying to get this right on your own? Hey, I'm tired because I'm tired of being the caboose. I'm not supposed to be the caboose. And by the way, I can help you and I can lead you and I can help you discover the will of God for your life. I can lead you to divine appointments. I can make that book glow neon. I can make your prayer life go to a level you can't even imagine. There's nothing like being a spiritual Christian. What does it mean? Spiritual Christian decides to step right up here that he's going to take control of this thing. But by the way, y'all got to make a decision to let him. And so all of a sudden, we're going to promote the reborn spirit behind the Holy Spirit of God, okay? If you're going to worship God, you must worship him in spirit, small s, and in truth. This is the part of you that can communicate with God. Holy Spirit's going to speak through your reborn spirit. Now we have the soul fallen in here, and we're going to take this flesh and we're going to put it way back. And let's make the flesh the caboose in our life. All right. Let's make the flesh the caboose. Now, all of a sudden, you see the dynamics change. By the way, this is Ananias and Sapphira. I don't think they were out of order. I think they were properly ordered. I think they were hanging around the wrong crowd. They were heavily influenced by Barnabas and his decision. They were in the middle of what may have been the most exciting church that has ever been on the planet. They were under the preaching and tutelage of the apostles. Folks, listen to me. They were having services where 3,000 were saved, 5,000 were saved. They were part of that. They were witness to this. How in the world, in the middle of revival, in the midst of a good church, in the midst of hot preaching, how in the world did the devil get in? This is what we need to discover tonight. So this is what we want to happen. Now, I'm going to need Joe and I'm going to need Travis up here, if I can get you two to come on up here. And I'm going to take your soul from you, brother. I want you to back up if you would here, because I don't like you that much, all right? This guy right here has caused me more problems. By the way, he's caused you more problems in your life than any other thing. We can talk all we want to about the devil, but the devil gets too much credit. Most of the time when we mess up, it's the fact that we're letting ourselves mess up, okay? Now, I'm going to now, all right, let me have you three come over here for a second, because I want them to be able to see this. I don't know why I'm giving you the mind. That is hilarious, man. Heart, will. This is your soul now, and I'm gonna put them in the proper order. By the way, this is the proper order. Mind, heart, will. You get these two guys switched around. You start making decisions on how you feel. Come on, instead of thinking, spiritual thinking produces spiritual emotions. Got to be very careful. You don't let the this heart was never supposed to be behind the steering wheel of anything. Okay. And so that's the proper order. Now I'm going to slide them into here in the proper order. And now these three represent the soul. I'm getting somewhere with this because Satan approached a part of them. And he's going to approach that part in me and you. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I'm talking about dedicated Christians. I'm talking about sacrificial Christians. But you know what? All of a sudden he watched two people, a married couple, spiritual people, had a heart for God, and was willing to sacrifice. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm going to see if I can mess this thing up. Okay, so are you with me so far? All right, so then we have, now he comes along, okay? Now he's going to come along, and he's going to try to influence this situation. Well, he can't stand up against the Holy Spirit of God. But he's going to try to get them, this person that's properly ordered, he's going to try to influence them to listen to him instead of him. Now, it's time we just kind of pulled the curtain back and really exposed what's going on. Because, folks, the devil's never going to quit. And I don't care how right with God you are tonight, how properly ordered. It's not like the minute you do that, he just goes, well, all right, I'll go find somebody else. There's no way I can ever. No, he's. If anything, he's going to go harder after you. Okay, so let me review this real quick. I want to take a glance, look at my notes, and find my glasses. And Satan cannot possess a born-again Christian, but he can influence their decision-making. If Satan succeeds in influencing our lives, he usually does it by appealing to our hearts. Okay, so here's a properly ordered Christian, but how in the world did they get influenced? Did they get influenced by the devil? He didn't start here. He didn't start here. He's got to skip this. That's why I said you can't. This may be one of the most, come on, the part of you that's the most susceptible to satanic attack. I'm talking again about dedicated Christians. But the devil didn't go after his mind. He went after their heart. And he filled their heart. That word filled, look it up. It means to have influence over. It literally means to catch it in a net. And to be able to draw it in a direction once he catches it in a net. He's going to cast a net and he's going to try to pull your heart into a place where your heart, he's going to begin to try to convince your heart to argue with your mind and the two of you argue against your reborn spirit, and I'm the devil's going to try to get you to make a decision opposite of what he's telling you to make. Now, I have to understand that, and I have to understand that if there's a weakness in my life, it's going to be in my heart. Okay? I mean, that's where a lot of times, you know, why did you do that? Have you ever asked somebody that's a good person? I mean, you've got a good kid, and all of a sudden they make one bonehead decision, and they'll usually say, well, I don't know. I just felt. Come on, did you hear me? You know what we'll ask them? What were you thinking? But that's not the question we should ask. They weren't thinking. Listen, they were feeling. They were feeling. And so a lot of times the devil begins to work on the emotions. And here they made a decision. I believe a rock solid decision. I believe it was a public decision. Okay, when they sold their property, you know what? Peter even says, you were under no obligation to give it all. And while it was yours, you could have done whatever you wanted to. But they had said that they were going to, publicly said they were going to give it. And then they changed their minds on it. Why? Because their reborn spirit told them to. Because they thought it through. No, because the devil cast a net on their heart and began to draw them away. Young ladies, you know what? God has made you so special, and God has created in you a great heart, and you have been given extra special amount of heart because you're going to be the one who raises those children. You have that nurturing instinct, that maternal instinct. You feel deeply. I mean, guys have a heart sometimes, but not as much. Some wives are wondering if their husband even has one, but please, listen, come on, brother, you pastored. He pastored a church in Missouri in a town of 1,600. We're kindred spirits, man. He came home. That's what he did when he came to Jesus. He came home. So only he's just had a flashing red light. We got a flashing red light. And, come on, the one in the middle of town with all the three colors. Feeling pretty good about Jason, but we got a Dollar General now. We got a Subway. Woo, I'm telling you. Why would you leave here? There's nothing else. Nothing else you need out there. The girls have been looking for Starbucks. There ain't no Starbucks. Is it Pete's? Is it Pete's out there? How many of you like Pete's better than Starbucks? Do you? How many like Starbucks better than Pete's? How many of you hate both of them? All right. And I've watched young ladies, and I mean, brother, they're hitting all cylinders. They just seem like to serve God, and they got a passion for souls, and they got a great heart to their parents and everything else. And then all of a sudden, devil bring the wrong guy along, just throws that net. They're not going off the reservation. They haven't gone crazy because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I'm tired of God being blamed for carnal, wicked, worldly decisions. Stop it. Stop it. The honest truth is we're going to see in this story, that's a dangerous thing to do. It is a dangerous thing to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. It's a dangerous thing to lie about the Holy Spirit of God. You know, if you're going to backslide, would you just be honest enough to say, you know what, the devil wants me to go this way and I'm going with him. And stop trying to drag God's good name into it. That's wrong. That's wrong. But you understand there's a battle. Here it's between, listen, the devil has to wage war against the Spirit of God. And he can't win that war, so he's going to go after the person that the Holy Spirit is living in, and he's not going to go after them. He's not going to go after this. This is where he does his greatest work. So I don't know all that happened. I don't know all the details of what happened. All I know is between the time that they stood up, tears run down their face, and said, you know what, God, the Holy Spirit of God has moved in our heart and directed us. And the Holy Spirit of God wants us to sell a piece of property, and we're going to bring it, and we want the church to go forward, and we know there's so many needs, right? Can you imagine the massive amount of needs, folks, in a church that went from 120 to 3,000 in one day? I can't even imagine it. And then just a short time later, 5,000 more, and there was just such enormous needs that Christians were stepping up in just unusual ways and saying, whatever we have to do to keep this thing going, let's do it. And then they got home and they put it on the market. And then all of a sudden they got asking price. Wow. All of a sudden they're in their house and they had that money on the dining room table. And here comes the devil. And he starts whispering in, come on, Ananias' ear. Come on, gentlemen. We're supposed to be the leaders of the home here. Okay, I'm not throwing his wife under the bus. Excuse me, sir. Okay, she was privy to it, but it didn't say that she thought of it. She was privy to it. She knew it. That made her responsible, but it sounded like to me it was his idea. And all of a sudden, he's looking at that, and he's saying, you know, it's one thing to say, boy, Lord, if you would give me this much, I'd give it all to you. And then, boom, it lands on the middle of the table. Ooh. And you know what you can do? You can begin to feel. Well, you know, honey, do you still feel good about this decision? They're both kind of staring at that. And then all of a sudden he starts reaching in his hand and he kind of starts dividing into two piles. And then maybe he shifts a little. And they begin to discuss and they talk about, well, you know, if I know what we said, but if we did this. And you know what? You can start coming up with what sounds like really spiritual good reasons. I mean, we're doing this for the kids and we're doing this for our future. And maybe if we invested this, it could even grow. And then later on, listen, you know what? The devil will tell you any lie you want to hear to get you to listen to him and lie to him. Okay? And this is going to work in your life. It's going to work in my life. Folks, it's not always finances, but let me just say this. Watch this. This did involve finances. I believe Satan will work especially hard in influencing our financial decisions. You know why? I'm not going to take the time. Go to Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Read it later on. Financial decisions will determine whether you're temporal-minded or heavenly-minded. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Listen, the devil knows that if he can get your pocketbook, he's got your heart. Okay? Financial decisions will determine the direction of your life, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. By the way, financial decisions will decide which master you serve. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one, love the other. Man, you talk about a line in the sand, folks. There's no wiggle room here. Or else he will hold the one, despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So all of a sudden, he attacks in the areas of the heart. Come on, the heart, that's where the sins lie. That's where covetousness incubates. Come on. This is the guy to go for. The devil's smart. The devil's smart. And so you know what he did? He began to attack the heart. How do you feel about it? Do you hear me? Do you still feel good about this? How do you feel about that decision? How do you feel about it? And the next thing you know, the devil began to attack them in a very vulnerable place. Now, I don't know how they divvied it up. I don't know whether they kept the lion's share or, listen to me, whether they kept 3%. It didn't matter. Because they had promised something to the Holy Spirit of God. Young people, listen to me. You go to camps and conferences. We're going to go this summer. We're going to take you to some of those places. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to work in your hearts. And by the way, some of you, he's worked in your hearts in the past. And under the strong influence of the Spirit of God, you went to an altar and you made some promises. And you know, the minute the devil hears you make a promise, you know what he does? He says, oh yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. We'll see whether you follow through with that or not. Come on now, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. How does the devil attack us? He attacks us through our heart. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. You can lay those right there on the pulpit and go on down. So Satan cannot possess a born-again Christian, but he can influence their decision-making process. If Satan succeeds in influencing our lives, he usually does so by appealing to our hearts. It's a serious thing to ignore. Listen to me. It is a serious thing to ignore the Holy Spirit and obey Satan when we make a decision. You know, people ask about, you know, fundraisers and how we've raised money through the years and how we've raised money when we want to build a building And you know, every pastor out there, do whatever God tells you to do. My dad started this church in 1973. And you know what? For all of the years, 41 years of ministry, anytime there was a need, please listen to this because this is so important. This is a closing illustration. Don't put your shoes on. Don't start gathering your purse and your Bible yet. Just hear me out. And then we'll finish up. But for all those 41 years, anytime we faced an issue or a challenge or something we need to raise money for, come on, those of you that were under my dad's ministry, you know what I'm going to say. He didn't ever reach, and I don't care what other preachers do, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I mean it, whatever God tells them to do. But I've never seen my dad reach his billfold and say, I have a $100 bill, who wants to match it? I've never seen him, you know, our kids don't sell chocolate. My dad walked to the pulpit and said, folks, here's the need. We believe after a season of prayer that this is what we need to do to go forward. This is the amount of money we need to raise. And listen, I want every single person, please listen to what he said. That makes so much biblical sense what he said. But he said, I want every single one of you to go home and pray and ask the Holy Spirit. Is that what my dad said? Ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you give to this. And if everybody listens, honestly does that, and listens and obey the Spirit of God, what comes in will be just right. And folks, can I say this? For 48-year history of this church, it's worked.
Yes, sir.
It's worked. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit of God dealing in this matter of giving. But young people, listen to me. It's not just in raising money or what to put in the plate. Come on. We have Christian college reps here. We're going to have other Christian college tour groups come through the summer. I don't know God's will for your life, not the specifics of it. But you know what? If you will go to the Holy Spirit of God and you will ask him what he wants you to do with your life, which is a lot more important than what you do with your money, then you know what? He'll tell you. But listen to me. Once he tells you, you are in a place of great danger, because to be made aware of God's will specifically by the Spirit of God, and then at a later date to allow your heart to be trapped in a net and drawn away, and the devil assist you in lying to the Spirit of God. Let me just say this, by the end of today, and I know that God doesn't always choose to do this, but by the end of this day in this story, there was two freshly dug graves. And I think the reason the Lord put this in the Bible was this. It's serious to God. It's serious to God for you to listen to the Spirit of God and him to tell you to do something. And then later on, because of how you feel different about it now. Who cares how you feel? If you're going to be controlled through your life by how you feel, you're going to make a lot of dumb mistakes in your life. So get that heart back in line. All right? Let the Holy Spirit of God speak through to your spirit. Communicate to the newborn spirit. Let your newborn spirit produce spiritual thinking, and that'll produce spiritual emotions. And if you're thinking spiritually and feeling spiritually, you're going to make wise spiritual decisions. All right? And then that old flesh back there, okay, crucify that monster. Because in our flesh, the Bible says, is no good thing. Not only keep him on the caboose, you keep him back there as a corpse on the caboose, okay? And just allow God to lead in your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's a lot here. Thank you so much for including this story. I believe there'll be a day that I talk to Ananias and Sapphira. I believe there might be a day. May not even be important when we get to heaven. So many things we think we're going to want to know may not just even matter. It'd be interesting to know a little bit of the details. It'd be interesting to know just how the conversation started.
It'd be interesting to know how much was kept back and how much was given. If we needed to know those things now, then you would have put them in the Bible. We don't need to know. We just need to know this. Well, the devil's good at what he does. So important. So important that we stay tender to the leading of the Spirit of God, that we don't grieve the Spirit of God. We don't quench the Spirit of God and His leading in our lives. That we order ourselves properly so that, Lord, You're in control. And Lord, I just ask especially for our young people, but this is not a teenage message. The devil doesn't quit playing these games because someone turns 25. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves in this thing called life, I pray that tonight we'll rededicate ourselves to being tender to the Spirit of God. If that relationship between us and the Spirit of God is in any way damaged, we would come and we would make that right. We would make sure that we're properly ordered so that we can know and fulfill Your will for our lives. We pray this thing tonight in Jesus' name.